Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the RotoViz Draft Series on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. For this series, I'm delighted to be joined by two guys that I love to get their thoughts, love to hear what they have to say, and especially when it comes to prospects coming into the NFL in this rookie class, and that is Travis May. You can follow on Twitter at FF_TravisM. Of course, Travis is part of the RotoViz.com team and hosts his own show here on RotoViz Radio. That is the College to Canton podcast. And I'm also going to be joined by John Daigle, and you can follow him on Twitter at NotJDaigle of NBC Sports Edge Football. And John is going to, as you'll hear here as we go through these conversations, both himself and Travis locked in on the info here as we get ready to talk these college prospects. Just a short couple of weeks away from the NFL draft, so it's really coming in close. Very shortly, we'll know exactly the landing spots of these players. We'll know exactly where they're going, who they're going to be playing with, where their ADP starts to shake out, but we can get ahead of that there by trying to see where the benefits of these players will be in terms of NFL prospects, and then of course where it filters into the fantasy football landscape. So really looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. For a little bit of background, we did a long conversation, we recorded this here, and I've split it into four shows in terms of tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, and running back. And today's show is going to be focusing on the wide receiver position. So much talent in this wide receiver class. Really looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. As I mentioned, it's going to be four parts. There's going to be four different editions. They are going to drop day by day over the next couple of days. This is going to drop on the 17th of April, and we're going to continue then 18th, 19th, 20th to drop these as we move forward and get close to the draft. Hopefully you're really going to enjoy it. I really enjoyed recording it. Thanks again to the two guys for jumping aboard. Make sure you're following them on Twitter. Once again, John Daigle is at NotJDaigle and Travis May is at FF_TravisM. Let's jump straight into it. Let's get into the conversation. So in this draft, it seems more like Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the consensus wide receiver one overall. Looking pretty solid, but there's a lot of conversation around the depth of the class. Looks pretty good. What for you sets him apart as a top wide receiver over some of the other guys in this, as I mentioned a moment ago? A pretty deep class heading into it.
Not only a deep class this year, but I believe he would have been the number one prospect last year as well. And as we know, that class had a lot more archetypes that we like from our wide receivers, bigger and working all across the field, and special team skills as well. But for Chase, what stands out for me is just the fact that he averaged 21 yards per catch and scored 20 touchdowns as a 19-year-old at LSU before opting out last year, of course. His 24 deep catches in 2019 that year as well were the most Pro Football Focus has ever charted in any collegiate season. And then you go back and look at his resume against NFL corners, and I know it's a small sample still, but he had two games, one against Trayvon Diggs in the college football regular season, where he put up 6 140-1. Diggs, of course, Cowboys' first-round corner last year. And then A.J. Terrell, the Falcons' first-round corner last year. In the college football playoff game, Chase posted him with 9 221 yards and 2 scores. So overall, even with his size, there's just no flaw in his game, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's one of the easiest slam dunks in a long time, I think. A recent piece in The Athletic was just outlining the fact that, you know, last year's NFL Combine, which was the last time we actually had a normal Combine, the star that everyone was talking about even a year ago was Ja'Marr Chase, not any of the wide receivers that were actually there. Like, he would have already probably been in the wide receiver one competition conversation last year had he been able to declare even then. So yeah, somebody that checks every box just from an analytics standpoint, you know, coming in by just about every measure in terms of yards per team pass attempt, dominator rating, or, you know, receiving yard market share, any kind of adjusted efficiency numbers. Even if you look at how he like his adjusted catch rate at the depth of target that he's showed successfully, consistently in the sample that we do have from him. Every box seems to be checked with Ja'Marr Chase. And I said it last summer and I'm still thinking it now. Like, there's just not really a conversation as to who the wide receiver one is by virtually any measure.
Yeah, last year we had a couple of guys that were in that mix, and then there was guys who weren't exactly in that mix who catapulted themselves by season's end and into that mixture. But when we look at the class, and we've touched on Chase, we both think he's the guy at the top of that. Is there a guy maybe who is your guy who's not Ja'Marr Chase but is the next guy that you want, you know, in terms of where we're looking here in this draft process that you're all in on, no matter where he lands? I know landing spot does dictate a lot of success, but is there somebody that you think pretty much no matter where he lands is going to be a success, John?
Oh, I love Rashad Bateman. I like guys who have proven they can do it everywhere on the field when asked to. And although he has the size, the height to attract NFL front offices at 6'2", I don't know when and if he ever played at 210. That's what he was listed at in college, because he checked it at 190 at his pro day. But no matter where the coaching staff, his eventual destination puts him, he can succeed. Ran 87% of his routes out wide in 2019 and proceeded to lead the country in yards per route run from that alignment. They lost a few talented players in 2020 last year, and so they moved him into the slot for a career-high 61% of his routes to concertedly pepper him with more targets. And that's why his ADOT and other numbers fell. But even so, he recorded 36 broken tackles on 147 career catches while at Minnesota, while averaging just over 15 yards per catch. So an explosive receiver that is interchangeable between the slot and outside, there's no way, in my opinion, the NFL can mess him up.
Yeah, Bateman looks to be somebody who's going to be pretty exciting. And there is a lot of guys in this class that you could rank in the top 10 and switch them in slightly different order. But, you know, guys, I know Jalen Waddle, somebody who's been a little bit polarizing in the process. But I think there's a lot of talent there. Devontae Smith as well can be very, very interesting. Is there anyone, obviously there is going to be somebody, but who's standing out for you, Travis?
For me, it's Elijah Moore. I know that not everyone is all in on Elijah Moore with, you know, getting top 20 capital or anything. But, you know, recently there's been more buzz about that actually possibly happening with first round capital for Elijah Moore anyway. And I think it's just we don't have, you know, everyone was hyped up about the guys that were at Ole Miss before Elijah Moore. But as soon as he was given the opportunity to emerge post AJ Brown, post DK Metcalf, he was the entire offense, you know, posting, you know, 30%+ numbers across the board of in terms of percentage of that receiving offense, even a year ago in 2019, and then exploding in 2020 with the, you know, ridiculous 86 catches for, you know, almost 1,200 yards. And, you know, just over 60 of his catches last year came from the slot. And so people think, oh, he's just going to be the slot weapon in the pros, and that's all he's going to do, and that's going to limit him. But that's not the case. He showed that he could even be way more efficient as an outside wide receiver, just like AJ Brown was able to do when DK Metcalf missed some time at Ole Miss. Obviously, it's a different system than AJ Brown and DK Metcalf were playing in, but Elijah Moore showed extreme versatility from the slot and the ability to be highly efficient as an outside wide receiver too. And he checks in with sub 4.4 wheels. So, I mean, NFL decision makers are addicted to speed. And so I think he's going to see top 50 draft capital. And because of his ability and demonstrated consistency across the board at any wide receiver alignment and really anything you want to ask him to do in the route tree. And you look at his analytical profile that's solid and you think, wow, that guy's a slam dunk. No matter where he lands, he's going to find a way to get on the field immediately.
And you talked about not him not having top 20 draft capital. That's probably true, but he's being mocked in a lot more late first rounds.
Yeah.
Which if he lands with the Packers, like his dynasty and fantasy capital, my God.
Yes. Amen.
For the listeners listening in, myself and Travis both just put our hands in the air there. I think that would be pretty awesome. And when we look at the last 2 years in particular, we've been really spoiled at the influx of talent that's come into the NFL, how those guys have hit the ground running. You mentioned there AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. There's just so much athletic talent coming into the position, but they've also been able to produce pretty much immediately. I wonder, are we going to get to a stage eventually where we're expecting that, and maybe even this year, and it just doesn't happen in year one, but it's going to be fascinating. And we will talk a little bit more in a moment about some maybe the guys that you're really high on, but I'm going to jump back to you, John, in terms of players who maybe we're seeing a little bit too much hype, that we're not buying that hype, that you feel might be a little bit overrated as they come into the draft process. And we've seen players as well, you know, I mentioned the good side of things. We've seen guys come in, go very early in those drafts over the last couple of years, maybe a Henry Ruggs, and just hasn't really worked out in that way. Is there somebody that might fit that mold, unfortunately, in 2021?
I actually think Kadarius Toney fits the Henry Ruggs mold in that he has to land in the right scheme. He has to, with the right coach, to succeed. He does have a few translatable skills. 32 broken tackles on only 80 catches the past two seasons. Only 3 career drops in that span. And when you watch him on tape, he just explodes. He's actually one of the more fun players to watch whenever you're viewing the film, but he only played wide receiver exclusively for 2 years at Florida because the team used him as a wildcat quarterback and gadget player in 2018. And in those 2 years, he was only aligned outside on 13% of his snaps. So he's more like a gadget slot receiver without the experience. I'm probably reaching for this comp just because it's most memorable and more recent in my head, but it reminds me a lot of Mecole Hardman, just a super explosive, fun player who just didn't get the experience because he also only played 2 years at wide receiver, primarily in the slot at Georgia. And then, of course, he hasn't translated really well in that role in the league. So I think there are probably two teams, I think, that would know how to use Toney properly. And what's funny is that he will have the draft capital. He's being mocked in a lot of top 20 scenarios. But overall, I'm concerned about him translating for sure.
Yeah, you stole mine, man. I don't think I've got any wide receiver in this class that I'm like, you know, just all aboard the fade train, like I am with Kadarius Toney. And it just seems like the easiest one of the bunch, because, you know, you can pick apart Devontae Smith's weight or whatever. That's been done 1,000 times. But I think Kadarius Toney somehow, regardless of everyone understanding that watches him closely, the context you kind of described, people are still forcing him up higher and higher and higher in these draft boards. Even today, you know, seeing people talk about how, you know, he might go ahead of Devontae Smith, you know, this actually being coming from some NFL Network people. And it's just like, man, that just sounds like incredibly terrible process. When you look at his production arc, it wasn't normal. Obviously, he was a converted quarterback to this utility player, but he never, ever, ever did anything outside of this final season. And even in his final season, accounting for less than a quarter of Florida's receiving offense. And you mentioned his alignments, and it is interesting how little of his game he was aligned outside, yet at the same time, he actually found some production just because they were basically trying to set him up on some screens and other creative ways to get him open on the outside, because he just doesn't know how to get out really open as an outside wide receiver and like a more stereotypical or prototypical wide receiver role. Yes, he has like a cool spin move that he'll try to do out of the slot, and yes, he can add some yak when people miss tackles, but man, it just seems like Kadarius Toney is the easiest fade of all time, like especially when you compare him to anyone else that's in the first round conversation this year. So he will be the outlier of all outliers, coming in with a, you know, an adjusted production index, you know, barely above the bottom quartile, even when you adjust for his peak numbers this past year. So any way you want to slice it, analytically, film wise, everything except for maybe the non-drop issue, or, you know, maybe the yards after contact per target numbers aren't terrible this past year, but man, it's really rough to try to even begin to justify first round capital for Kadarius Toney.
And that's why we're not arguing about him being an athlete. Like, he scored 120 touchdowns in high school. You don't do that unless you're an athlete.
Yeah,
he was a quarterback actually, but overall, just translating to specifically that one skill set, again, he's just going to have to land with an intuitive coach. And there are already so few of those in the NFL. I do worry about his outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when both of you guys have fallen on the same player, definitely is going to raise some red flags there. And it's also a bit of a positive that there wasn't anyone extremely standing out as well outside of that.
So hopefully we're going to find it. But I do think we're going to see a high volume of wide receivers get that draft capital in the first round this year, and it's going to make for some very, very interesting activity after that in terms of ADPs and fantasy football and how things shake out from there. When we look at some of those guys that we're looking then, when we get into the draft season, we're looking at players who we might like to get some values on. Is there any guys in that later round, maybe going anywhere, I guess we'll say from around three onwards, that you think is going to be a very fascinating prospect in the NFL? Maybe not even in 2021, but have a successful NFL career.
I shouldn't be, but I'm a Dwayne Eskridge guy. He's small, 5'9", 190, but he's blazing fast. State champion, high school sprinter. His straight line speed was reportedly the talk of everyone at Senior Bowl practices. And then he unsurprisingly ran a 4.33 40 at his pro day. But what I love about him so much, and I should remind you that he's not going to have the draft capital, most likely. He did all of his production against the MAC. So again, that's another knock on him. But averaged 4.94 yards per route run last year. It's an outstanding number. A career yards after the catch per reception, over 9. So he breaks tackles, and that includes over 14 just last year. And then he also benches 350, squats over 500 pounds, and he has a 37.5-inch vertical. So although he could be pigeonholed as just a straight-line speed guy, he has the athleticism and the balance to break tackles. Again, it's going to come down to whether production and athleticism in the MAC actually translates, but I think he's big enough and proved he can do a few things well enough that he makes sense as like a fourth, fifth round guy that I'll be eager to watch.
Yeah, Dwayne Eskridge is an interesting one because he just feels like a small sample trap because, like you said, it was against the MAC. Like it was six games, essentially. Like even when you look at his quarterback, Caleb Ellaby, like he just put together the most efficient season basically ever in college football passing. And it was just a six game sample against MAC only competition. And if you like watch many of his highlights, you'll see, you know, four or five of his long touchdowns came in the exact same look. It was like an RPO slant look where they just hit him in isolation and boom, he's gone because he's got that track speed. Right. So, man, if he's in the right situation, that's going to be everything for me with him. But that's an interesting name to watch just because of what he can do from a speed standpoint. But I don't know if he's going to go later at this point. But Diami Brown, like, do we think he's – I mean, John, do you think he's a round three or later guy? Because to me, like, he shouldn't be, but I think he's probably going to still be. Like, Diami Brown is my guy, and I've been on him for – quite some time. Just love his deep game, and he doesn't just win with speed. He wins with technique. You know, back to back seasons with 50 plus receptions. Over 1,000 yards, averaging 20 yards per, and having basically the deepest average depth of target in all of football by a few yards this last fall, and just burning first round NFL corners even 2 years ago. So I mean, he's got that complete resume, and it helps when you work with Sam Howell at quarterback, who's probably going to be a top two quarterback in the 2022 NFL draft. But Diami Brown just looks like he's got that deep threat ability to be a splash play specialist early and perhaps a volume guy in a more balanced outside receiver role really by year two.
His depth of target, which you mentioned, it's not only just last year, it was a career 18.4.
Insane.
it's absolutely insane. And he averaged over 20 yards per catch the last two seasons.
Yeah.
The issue, of course, is that he didn't play in the slot at all. Literally less than 1% of his routes came from the slot while in his career at North Carolina. And, of course, he had a letdown pro day. But he does get talked up in a lot of mocks. And I've been listening to a lot of draft pods, and a lot of guys talk about him as a day two wide receiver. And I think even as a deep threat, even if he's just a pop a shot guy, there is enough room here with a lot of teams that he can make noise, because he's someone that I was much higher on prior to his pro day. And then once we got his measurables, like, okay, maybe he's just an average guy, but his production speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fascinating. I think if you asked the question, is he round three or later? I feel like he's a player who somebody's either going to fall in love with and take well above that, or I think he's going to be somebody who could slide through the cracks. But I think there's going to be an extreme value there for whoever does end up taking him. So, I think if the listeners are listening, I think they're going to be excited about this class anyway. I think listening to you guys talk with them, they're going to be even more excited. But let John go first, let Travis go second for the final word in terms of summarizing this class and what the listeners should be expecting as we head into 2021 with the wide receivers.
I mean, with this class, it looks like it's going to be a really deep group. I think for a long time, we've known that that was going to be the case. Now, there are some more kind of later breakouts and I don't know, imperfect profiles, I guess, with some of these older guys. I mean, like even some of the guys that didn't work out like we thought they would, like the Tomori and Terry's of the world, you know, and people want to nitpick Devontae Smith's later breakout and everything. But I think when you look at the context of this entire class, like even the Tylan Wallace's, like the fourth year guys who've been Biletnikoff conversation wide receivers for a long time, there's going to be a ton of value found in between picks 50 and 120. And so it's going to be a lot of fun because you have these, you know, small sample guys that broke out and were insanely productive last fall in a strange season like Dwayne Eskridge. But then you have these speedsters that with great analytical profiles like Elijah Moore and then Jamar Chase, who's been the guy for forever. Terrace Marshall, who's been like the touchdown scoring machine to all of college football 2 years in a row. There's every type of wide receiver that you could imagine in this class. And so it's going to be a lot of fun to see how this pans out. Even the Rondale Moores that just look like a complete unicorn due to his true freshman 2,200 all-purpose yard season. And now, well, he's 5'7", so what does he look like? I've never seen a class like this before, so I hope it gives us a half dozen or more hits the position. I think there's real potential for that.
There are a lot of guys who don't do a lot well as so much as they do one thing really well. And that's why I just think it's going to come down to the destinations for so many of these names. You're going to see rookie and dynasty rankings jostle after draft night per the team they land with and the coach they're going to work with, because that's going to matter more so than maybe even the last decade for receivers.
And that does take us to the end of that wide receiver conversation that we had. We are very, very excited about this incoming group of rookies. The last couple of years, as I mentioned, we have had some phenomenal, phenomenal talent come into the NFL. I think we're going to see more of that coming this year. And I think we're going to be pretty spoiled for wide receivers over the next 4 to 5 years in the NFL. And of course, that relates back to ourselves and fantasy football, how we draft those rosters and how you can get those in your lineups each week and each season, depending if you're playing redraft dynasty and whatever format that you're playing. But it's going to be exciting, and we're going to see some of these guys hopefully land in premium spots to give them that opportunity to succeed right off the bat as they enter the NFL. As I mentioned at the start of the show, this is going to be a four-part series. It was a four-part conversation, and we're going to be looking as well at all the position groups, basically, in terms of the skill positions, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and quarterback. Be sure to check out all four shows as they're released. They are going to be released from the 17th of April, basically 18th, 19th, 20th, as the four shows drop day on day. Check back in on your RotoViz radio feed. Make sure you subscribe to get all those shows once they go live. So much great content on RotoViz this off-season and throughout the season. We'll have you covered. Multiple shows every single day. Get your fix as you get ready for the draft, or as you get ready for the season. Get yourself into prime position to win your fantasy championship in 2021. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a one-year RotoViz subscription on rotoviz.com by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Get you access to all of the tools, all of the content up on the website. Get yourself just, along with the podcast content, just get you set up perfectly for success this upcoming year. So that once again is RV Radio 2021. That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you join back to get all four shows as we get ready here for the draft. Hopefully you will enjoy those. If you do like them, drop a written review on your favorite podcast app. Much, much appreciated. If you haven't already, make sure you're following John Daigle on Twitter at NotJDaigle. That is D-A-I-G-L-E. He is, of course, of NBC Sports Edge. You can find all the content he'll be sharing there on his Twitter feed, and as well with Travis. Follow him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. You can find all his work up on rotoviz.com. And of course, the fantastic College to Canton podcast, where he breaks down prospects like this all the way through, maybe even a year or two before they hit that NFL stage at the draft night, or maybe even undrafted, and he gets you set up for success there. So check that out as well. Once again, that is the College to Canton podcast. Thanks to both guys for jumping on. They're both fantastic guys, fantastic followers on social media with superb content. Make sure you check them out. Of course, my name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland.
Until we're back with another edition of the show, of course, have a good one.